Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Thank you for joining us for this half hour. Now, let's talk.
And welcome to Let's Talk. I love getting to say that. It's Tracy Morgan here with Let's Talk, 11:15. That time of day, you and I are going to be spending a lot of time together, let me tell you. We got from now, I'll be doing news here at noon. I'm going to take Dave's shift this afternoon, so it's you and me for the day, and that's a good thing. But let's stick with Let's Talk for this half hour. This is our half hour where we get to sit with experts, and they get to talk about their message, and you get the benefit out of this. Today we're with Family Pathways, and we're going to be talking about the outpatient mental health services. We're going to give you an overview of this. We're going to do that in just a moment with Brian Dick. And let me first give you the ways that you can listen, because if you're listening to us on the radio, always a good thing. If you're listening to us online, it's WISR680.com if you're not. But if you are, then that's our way that you can listen live. It's going to be the same place that you get this program as the podcast of the day. So if you have to leave us, we will have this recorded for you and online. And then the app, you have the app on your smartphone. And now Alexa-powered devices. So if you just got Dot, Tap, Echo, I know the list keeps growing. You can just say, Alexa, play WISR 680, and it'll pop up there for you. So a lot of ways to listen. Thank you very much for listening and joining with us. And also with us is Brian Dick. He is the program manager of outpatient services with the mental health services there at Family Pathways. Brian, it's always nice to see you. Just talked to you, it seems like yesterday.
Good morning, Tracy, yes.
It's been a while now, but, you know, a few weeks. Hope your holidays were good.
It went well, thank you.
Yeah, we were talking about the holidays and the stress
last time. We were back in December.
Yeah. But, you know, it is nice to talk about an overview, because sometimes we get specific with issues, and that's fabulous. But then we don't look at the larger picture, and how do we go about this, and how do we call, and what's the process? And so I know that's what we're really going to get into today, but tell me how you work at the office, but that's the whole entire show. So let's break it down to give me your credentials, if you will. I say you, but I mean overall as an organization.
As far as a credential for me or the organization itself, organizationally, we're constructed as a licensed outpatient mental health program. It's the technical term is outpatient psychiatric clinic. Mm-hmm. We're licensed through the Office of Mental Health and Substance Abuse, which is a division of the state department for licensing. And essentially, we provide, and we're licensed to provide, psychiatric outpatient services, which includes outpatient mental health services. We're staffed by licensed and some non-licensed clinicians who work under that umbrella. Most of us all have licenses that represent our respective fields of marriage and family therapy or professional counseling, psychology, or licensed social work is a very popular one also.
So is your field one that has to have continual education? The only industry I can think of right now off the top of my head are teachers. And teachers usually have to continually have education under their belt to keep themselves updated, if you will.
Yes, internally we have requirements on certain amount of education that each clinician in the department needs to receive per year. Naturally, that's across the board for mm-hmm. all the employees in the agency. And then those of us that have a professional license through the Occupational Affairs Department of the state have to have so many hours every 2-year licensing cycle. And if we are, if our application is audited, meaning they want to look at our continuing education, they'll request that, and we submit that as part of the license renewal process. So everybody that receives a licensed services or provides licensed services has to have continuing education in a two-year cycle.
I ask this as the general you, but when someone is in your shoes and you're getting to be the position that you're in and you're helping people as a counselor, what kind of training has to go along with that? Because you have schooling. In my industry, it's called an internship. Do you have an internship or residency? And then do you follow someone? Do you shadow someone for a couple of years?
Sure. I mean, all of the above, really. All the people that we've hired, we require a minimum of a master's degree in one of those fields, psychology, social work, marriage and family, or professional counseling. And they have to, undergo a certain type of curriculum. We look at those things. There are guidelines at the state, and our insurers require us, commercial insurances require us to meet in our hiring process. All those folks generally have completed a practicum, which is like an internship. It's a practical internship. Most of them all have completed an hour, or not an hour, a year of internship, an hour.
A lot more than an hour, yeah.
Yeah, it's not one of those, but a whole year generally these folks have completed as part of their graduate school level programming and schooling. Most of them come in requiring additional hours that they need to get on a supervised basis from me in order to apply for their licensure. Generally, they have to undergo an exam that's designated by the state, and that can take another 2 years. That doesn't preclude them from working with us, but each of our clinicians receive at least 1 to 2 hours of supervision from me a week. That's my job, and for, I think, really the majority of the staff, I've helped them get licensed and prepared them for licensure with the state individually. So it isn't just one thing where somebody just comes in and gets a piece of paper and then starts practicing. We do have an intern that is currently working in the department presently. She's completing a year-long internship through her graduate counseling program at Slippery Rock. She's also an employee with us, so she works in a different department, and then she receives internship supervision through me, which will help her prepare for graduation from the educational institution.
And I'm glad you're talking about all of this, just because it is so important for the training and the education to be where you are, because I would expect that there's a moment in your career that really hits home mm-hmm. that you're helping people and you're dealing with their lives. You know, and that's important.
Well, certainly the state has established standards for what people have to bring into at the staff level or a clinician level to provide these types of services. It's not just, I mean, there are paraprofessionals and people provide other kinds of psychosocial supports in different programs, but not therapy. If you're going to be doing psychotherapy or counseling, you have to have a minimum level of educational expertise, graduate school training, and supervision, which is partly received at the institution where you're educated, and then when you move on into a regular job.
Because you're dealing with people with placement situations, court situations, highly emotional situations, co-parenting. There's conflict resolution, which, in my opinion, I don't think enough of us know how to do. So that's why we like that you're here. You know, early child mental health, I mean, these are all services that you, again, generically, when I say you, meaning Family Pathways provides, and you yourself, of course, but that's a lot of services that you include. Let me ask you, when I have in front of me something that says modalities, what do you mean by that? How do we understand that term?
Well, a modality is really just a clinical term that means how do we work with populations that we serve. Generally, what is reimbursable, this is driven by what is reimbursed, generally by insurers, commercial or public insurers, like Medicaid and the commercial insurances like Highmark and UPMC. It's generally individual, couples, which is billed under a family therapy or a plain family therapy where you're working with a group of family members to resolve a problem. Group therapy, which is made up of 2 to 10 people in a group. They're working on common specific problem areas or focuses. And then we also do a lot of psychoeducational services, which are therapeutic in nature, but are more educationally focused, like anger management, the parenting education, the conflict resolution, and the co-parenting services that we do through the courts.
Yeah. And let me ask you about the individualized basis and the referral system. Do you do both? Is this something that we can walk into and just pay out of our pocket if we would have the money? Or is this all insurance-based?
Well, it's all of the above. I mean, we do have a fee schedule for self-pay, although I think the majority of individuals that come through our door have some kind of insurance. There are fee-for-service schedules for, like, specific non-reimbursable insurance services. That's kind of a long-term, meaning services are referred by the court or not necessarily reimbursed by insurers. So we have a fee schedule specifically for that population, and that might be more of an out-of-pocket expense. But generally, people come in with the insurance. When they come in, they can walk off the street. They can call us, whatever works for them. Many times it's internal. They'll say, I have a family member that wants to come in. And then we'll do an eligibility determination to see what their insurance will pay so that they understand if there are any out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles and co-pays, because sometimes that's a defining factor in whether people get into services or not. But they know that really up front. And then we would schedule them for an assessment, which is a one-hour meeting with the therapist who will do a complete rundown of their history, the presenting problem, resolution attempts they've made. I mean, there's just 4 or 5 pages worth of things that we go through with them to arrive at some type of a recommendation for them. Most of the people that come in for treatment actually need some sort of treatment. There are times when we'll say, really, we think that this could be dealt with in another way outside of treatment.
Okay.
That's not always the case, because usually people come to treatment when they're at a crisis point, mm-hmm. or it's reached a point where we can't go on this way, and so they'll seek out the services.
If they're going to their PCP first and they're talking to them, what do they need to ask? What can they ask for to be able to get referred to you if that's the system that they're going under?
Well, and we work a lot. That's a good question. We work a lot with the pediatric PCPs, the pediatricians in the area. And a lot of our referrals for the children and the families come from the pediatricians. They're approaching the pediatrician with problems associated with attention, focus, oppositional behavior, depression, high-risk kinds of behaviors. And the pediatricians are not really equipped to deal with all of those issues, so they'll send them or give them the information to come to Family Pathways or maybe another provider in the area. Oftentimes, the adults are going to their PCP because that's their point of entry. They can go to their PCP fairly easily. They want some kind of medication, like an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety medication.
Yeah.
Is very common, quite frankly. A lot of people, that's how they enter the system. And then it reaches a point for the pediatrician or the physician that they really can't make a lot of alterations to those medications. So they'll refer them on to the clinic where we have a psychiatrist who can then reassess the situation and make adjustments.
Yeah. All right. So this is, folks, if you're just joining us, Brian Dick is with us. He's with Family Pathways. He's the program manager of the outpatient services for the mental health services. You're the boss. Can we just say,
well,
you head up
the
department?
Yes.
We'll promote you right here on the air. Can we do that? I'm not sure.
Well, that may be a good or bad thing, because then people call me for complaints sometimes, too.
Let's rethink that, right? But with Family Pathways, it's just kind of giving you a general overview of what they do. And you have a regional office in Pittsburgh, don't you?
Net Family Pathways.
Yeah, or is it the other way around?
Our main office is here in Butler on 100 Brew Avenue.
Okay.
That is our office. That's the central nexus of everything
that
we do.
Okay, so that's where you are.
No, the office in mental health and substance abuse is a regional licensing office set up by the state.
Okay.
We work with them. We work with the county mental health office here in Butler, who there's a lot of fine folks there that we work with on a regular basis. The Butler Collaborative for Families is a consortium of agencies within Butler County that we work with. Oftentimes they'll meet with them, and they have programming that's actually occurring in our training center on a regular basis. So it's not all about Family Pathways. We work with a lot of partners too. With respect to mental health services.
Since you mentioned training center, I'm going to ask you, because I drive by your building quite often and I see the construction going on. Is that the new training center?
Yes, it's an expansion of our existing training center. We've had a training center since we entered the building in 2004. But it's been something we've wanted to expand upon and develop further facilities for a larger number of options for training. And that's what the extension expansion is. It's also going to be expanding some of our clinical work areas and youth-related areas for treatment within that structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice location on Brew Avenue, too. Great parking lot right across the street. So if you're like me, I like a place to park. Give me space, give
me room.
There's
going to be a lot more parking there.
There it is. So I love that about where you are. All right, so Family Pathways has a great staff, and I want you to talk about the staff. I know some of them are trauma-informed care team members. Some of them do different specified jobs within Family Pathways. So just talk about your team, if you would.
Yeah, our team is made up of both full-time and part-time therapists and clinicians. Many of whom have been with us for several years now. The majority of them are either working towards license. Most of them are all licensed now as either social workers, professional counselors, marriage family therapists. And there are a few that are either at a point where we have them working in a certain area based upon their degree program, who are not licensed, but under an outpatient psychiatric license, everybody can work under that umbrella as long as they meet minimum educational criteria. That's kind of complicated, but everybody there is working across the board with different populations, all the populations we've talked about previously. We've talked specifically about PCIT, parent-child interactional therapy, or trauma-focused cognitive behavior therapy, but everybody's working with children, youth, adults. These are referrals that are coming from a variety of areas. We don't have anybody just specializing in one area necessarily. We try to get everybody credentialed so that they can work across the board with the different populations that come our way. Oftentimes, we're getting referrals from domestic relations and the court services for families. And all of our clinicians are trained to work with those people, too. It's not a situation where somebody just says, gee, I just want to work with children. I don't want to see any adults. It's everybody works with every population, and I think that gives us a lot of flexibility at this point.
Can you talk about your treatment process, your clinical modalities a little bit more? And the reason I want you to talk about them in particular is because I think the stigma is still out there. I think we've made great progress through the years, but I think the stigma is still out there that mental illness is only kind of pigeonholed into maybe one or two illnesses. And some people may hear mental illness and say, oh, I'm not them. But when you open your life up, you see that this is a vast array of conditions, challenges that people have to face. Do you find that still out there? And then how do you treat people to say, no, this is okay? You know, you can make the walk into our doors.
Right. There's a lot of questions. There are actually the modalities themselves are just the ways that we're working with people. The clinical techniques, which I didn't really list here, are the actual approaches that we would use to work with families. With families, we work with more of a structural family therapy. It's an evidence-based practice. It's been around for quite a while. It was actually originated in Philadelphia where we attempt to change the structure and organization and the way that families function within that structure. Individually, we'll work with people using cognitive behavior therapy to change the way that they're thinking about situations or how they're behaving about them, or changing specific events that are causing the problems in the first place. And that's a really good treatment for targeting anxiety and depression, which is a very common set of things that come through our doors, as well as adjustment disorders. There's a whole range of conditions that don't really meet the criteria for depression or anxiety, but it's life adjustments. People are struggling with something and they can't seem to get beyond it. We'll use TFCBT, which is trauma-focused CBT, to target young children and adolescents in treatment to address a traumatic circumstance, to try to help them reduce the effects of a trauma in their lives.
You said CBT, is that what you just
cognitive
said?
Cognitive behavior therapy.
Okay.
Yes.
And so what is that?
That is a very common treatment approach. It's evidence-based. It was also developed in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia by Aaron
Yay,
Beck.
Yay, PA.
Yeah, Pennsylvania's big. And it focuses on helping people understand how their automatic thinking affects their behavior and affects their responses, their feelings, and so forth. So if I have a bad situation happening, or even not a bad situation, oftentimes my mind can make errors in how I think about it. So the way I'm thinking about it probably results in a not very productive way that I'm behaving or feeling about it, which then creates more problems, and it just cycles along. And that whole approach is used to try to reduce or bring awareness to how people think in error-prone ways around their problems and helps them confront and challenge. That's a very simplistic explanation.
Is it conversation-based, or are there exercises that are associated with it?
Both. Conversation-based. Exercises, psychoeducational materials, manuals, workbooks, in environment activities where you give the person a homework assignment to do something like, I'm going to talk to three people next week because I'm socially anxious. I'm going to go up to someone and speak to them or ask them a question or something. That's a example of a homework assignment. That's very basic. Obviously, it can depend on the condition that the person has. Cognitive behavior therapy is a pretty wide-ranging set of modalities. There's just not one school of it. There's several different mm-hmm. schools of it that do different things, but it's to target irrational or problem thinking and help that person make better evaluations about their thinking mm-hmm. and behave or make better decisions about their next steps. And oftentimes it's focused on problem solving for these individuals as well.
See, and I'm glad you mentioned that because, again, that's where I think the stigma is, that when we say mental illness, we pigeonhole into, you know, depression or manic issues. But yet when you think about what you just said, hearing you say it, I think, wow, people have that issue. You know, I wouldn't have thought of going up to somebody would be an issue for someone, which sounds simplistic for some, very difficult for others. So there are very common things in life that you can get help for. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. A lot of our problems are based upon our prior experiences. And then how we've handled those experiences have not really... We've not used the right toolkit to do those things.
Or maybe we don't have the toolkit.
Or we don't have the toolkit because we were never given any education on how to handle those things. And so a lot of people are coming to our services to address just practical problems in their lives. Sure, there are people with chronic depression, anxiety, bipolar, or even other more severe conditions like schizophrenia. And sometimes there's limits on what you can do or certain ways that those people are treated over a course of their lives. But largely, outpatient services is for other people that just have common problems that they don't have any resource to really try to solve. It's not about pigeonholing them into being bad or something terribly wrong with them or in some other way creating a negative image of them. But oftentimes that's what we've kind of grown up under, and people are afraid to approach services because they feel vulnerable. They feel like somebody's going to know my business, somebody's going to know what my weaknesses or my failings are, and I can't really handle having somebody learn about that.
Yeah.
And so that's a big barrier sometimes, people coming into therapy.
Yeah, Brian Dick is with us with Family Pathways. We still have 5 minutes left with you, but why don't you give us the phone number? How do we contact Family Pathways if we'd like to take advantage of your services?
Well, you can contact us at 724-284-9440. Our address is 100 Brugh, B-R-U-G-H, Avenue here in Butler.
Or the Butterfly Building.
Yes, it's called Monarch. It's called Monarch Place. Just put Monarch Place in your Google Maps, and you'll get there.
Find the big butterfly, and you will find the building. Let me ask you before we do let you go today about your staffing needs, not necessarily your staff that's currently there, because we did cover that. But you are looking for individuals right now, aren't you?
Sure. We have a lot of families that need evening hours. A lot of our families work, or there's other constraints where they can't come in during the day. So right now, my clinical team has very limited evening hours. So we're really hoping to hire some people on a part-time basis, and I say people, probably more than one, to provide part-time evening hours for therapy. And these are people that could be maybe they're semi-retired, they've been in the counseling field, or maybe in the secondary guidance counseling field in schools for most of their career. Maybe they were a school psychologist, maybe they had worked for an agency somewhere else, and now they're kind of entering that retirement. Maybe they're a stay-at-home mom, maybe they're taking care of their children, but they have the training they'd like to get back into the field and do some part-time hours each week.
So this can be on our own schedule. If we apply to Family Pathways, can we give you what works for us and how we're trying to look for a job? Or,
well, the minimum requirement is at least 2 evenings a week.
Okay.
So once we get that established, if there's additional things, as long as it's at a time where we know where we have people coming in, it has to be pragmatic and practical
Sure.
for the agency Mm-hmm. operationally so that we can maximize the resource.
Do you become an employee or do you become a contractor?
You would become an employee.
Okay.
Yes, you'd be hired as an employee. There's Mm-hmm. certain requirements because we work with children. There's certain, you have to have an FBI clearance. You have to have a TB test, tuberculosis test. Mm-hmm. You have to have your child clearances through the state. You have to have your Pennsylvania State Police clearances. We have to look at your motor vehicle record because of our insurance plan. There's just things that, there's basic clearance things that we have to look at that people have to meet because it is a professional counseling center. So like a school, it's very similar. You have to meet certain guidelines that way. Then we look at the education, minimum of a master's degree in a counseling psychology or related field. Experience would be great if we can get a little bit of experience with children, families, and youth. Because I think if you're going into it and you're hoping to just work with adults, but you don't really want to work with children, this is probably not the right option for you.
A lot of adults have the children, and
yes,
it all folds in somehow in what you do. What is the best way for us to apply? Do you have this online? Do we give you a call? Where is it posted?
Well, you can go on our website and get our information. You can fax us a resume if you'd like, or drop it by. You can bring it by the agency at 100 Brugh Avenue in Butler. You can send it to us in the mail and just put a cover letter saying I'm interested in applying for an outpatient therapy position. It'll get to me so I can screen it. A lot of people are using the Indeed, I-N-D-E-E-D Mm-hmm. site. We do have the position posted on Indeed. It has been there for quite a while. And then our fax number is 724-284-9441. That's also on our website.
Okay, good. So we can Google you or ask Alexa. We could do that since everybody has Alexa
Sure.
right now. Alexa, find me Family Pathways. And Family Pathways, of course, that's where Brian works. And he is the program manager of the outpatient services, the mental health services there with Family Pathways. And just one more time with your phone number since we are almost out of time. And Just give us that at least.
Yeah, the phone number is 724-284-9440.
And just your final thoughts on just the importance of us getting help.
I think that if you're really thinking about getting help, rest assured, we're very willing to be very open-minded with you. You're not going to be judged. We're not going to criticize anybody that comes through. That's obviously unprofessional. We're just very open to having anyone that seeks out services come to Family Pathways.
And the help is there. The help is available with a great staff and a great building and great services. So, Brian, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Tracy.
Happy New Year to you.
Same
I can say
you.
That officially, so hopefully we'll get to see you real soon with Family Pathways. Folks, if you would like to listen to this program, again, in its entirety, it is going to be online, WISR680.com. You'd go to the program area, the menu bar, drop down to Let's Talk, and then look for Family Pathways. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Tracy Morgan with Let's Talk.
The information and opinions shared on this program are solely those of our guests and do not necessarily represent those of WISR, the Butler County Radio Network, or its staff and employees.